portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, Henny Cup, baby.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Bonjour, Anine, everybody. This is Ogumogunuakwe on Native Roots Radio. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I Am Awake. Thank you so much for sticking around with our minor technical difficulties there, and shout out to the station for sending me off on my first solo round of opening the show with Dallas Goldtooth, the spirit from Reservation Dogs and his wonderful war cry. Here on Native Roots Radio, we discuss local, national, and regional Native American news and events. And today I really want to make sure that people are aware that if you are not yet and you want to find a way to help support us at Native Roots Radio, you can always donate to our Patreon at patreon.com/Native Roots Radio Network. And that is a great way to support us either with a one-time donation or a monthly donation. So we always appreciate that. Today on the show, we're going to have Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish on. And we've also got a special guest today. We're going to have Ramona Keto Stately, who is the executive director of We Are Still Here Minnesota, talking about the mission of We Are Still Here Minnesota, as well as sharing information on how to support that organization, also known as WASH. So we'll have both of those wonderful ladies on here later today. As always, I like to bring the news on Native Roots Radio, and I have some news and events for you here today while we wait for Robert and Wendy to come on and join the show. Robert and Wendy unfortunately got stuck in a little bit of traffic today and are facing a minor TP incident, and that is actually not a joke. There was a small malfunction with the TP today, and that is why Robert and Wendy are running late. I'm sure they can tell us a little bit more about it when they arrive. However, for right now, I'm going to go into some news. So again, I'm Ogumogunuakwe, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I always like to start my news with information on what's happening with the Line 3 movement here in Minnesota, the Stop Line 3 movement, rather, I should say. Big event coming up next Tuesday, November 9th, from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. I hope all of you early risers in the Stop Line 3 movement are getting excited for this. What's going to be happening is that there's going to be a live stream from the U.S. Climate Action Center at the COP26 summit in Glasgow, and it is going to be an Indigenous-led resistance on Minnesota's Line 3 pipeline panel that will feature individuals and organizations that have been involved in attempts to stop the Line 3 tar sands pipeline in Minnesota. Panelists are going to share their experience from the frontline, social media, legal, academic, and Indigenous perspectives. Speakers and panelists include Ashley Fairbanks of the White Earth Nation, who is with Honor the Earth, Representative Frank Hornstein of Minnesota from the State House of Representatives, Ellen Anderson from the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, Julia Nurbon from the Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light Group, Rupali Padke from McAllister College, Ron Turney of the White Earth Nation, who is independent media, I believe will be joining virtually, and attorney Frank Bibeau of Honor the Earth, as well as Shaw, who is the media coordinator for Indigenous Environmental Network, will also be joining. It is a fantastic lineup, and there will be, the live stream starting at 5 a.m. Central Time, and you can register online on Facebook via Honor the Earth's website. They do have their Honor the Earth's Facebook page. They do have registration information set up to register there. And you can also register for the virtual U.S. Climate Action Center conference on the U.S. Climate Action Center website. So Line 3 is going international at the COP26 summit. Also from the Indigenous Environmental Network, not totally related to line three, but I think it's incredibly important, and I am so grateful that Honor the Earth is able to offer this. For the UNFCCC, the COP26 summit, they believe it should be available to everybody to go to, not just wealthy government officials, climate deniers, and big polluters selling us false solutions. This is from the Indigenous Environmental Network page. They're talking about futures without us at the table or even in the room. The Indigenous Environmental Network has radio coverage live streaming that you can access online at ienearth.org or by your phone by dialing 1-667-930-9307. Again, that is to find live audio radio footage of the COP26 summit provided to you by the Indigenous Environmental Network. Hey, it looks like we have Robert and Wendy on. Oh my gosh, it's so good to see your faces.
We're here. We made it. Oh my goodness.
You passed the test. Now we can retire.
I kind of wish that was not the case, because I don't want to do this alone. Not for a very long time. The show wouldn't be anything without Robert and Wendy, that's for sure.
All I have to say, the teepee's too big.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
That's all we have.
That's all we're going to say. It's too tall. More on that Monday.
Yeah.
More on that Monday. All right. So I'm just going to squeeze in just a couple more headline news here, if that's all right with you too, Robert, Wendy.
Yes.
Oh, please.
Awesome. If you're a Native American who believes in supporting other Native American people, go out and get a copy of People Magazine today. They wrote a 3-page article on MMIW. It's page 48. And there was a photo that was added as well from local photographer Nadonis Rose Green, featured in People Magazine. So if you're supporting, make sure you congratulate Nadonis and her photography work, as well as get a copy of it or figure out how to read the article online. That is super exciting when we get into big national things like that. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation now has dual language road signs on tribal lands for the Red Cliff tribal band. So that is very exciting. We've got some of those here in Minnesota, but this is actually the first of its kind happening in Wisconsin. And then I'm just going to put this up here really briefly. So there was just this new study talking about how there's only certain parts of the world that are actually contributing to global climate pollution. And unfortunately, the global north, including the USA, the European Union, and Russia, are contributing 92% responsibility for climate breakdown. Meanwhile, the global south, including South America, Africa, China, India, and all those countries are only contributing about 8% total of what is contributing to climate breakdown throughout the world. I mean, it is, if you're watching us live, there's a breakdown, and it's basically the global north is red and the global south is blue. And on this world map, I mean, we're talking about countries that people like to you know, people like to talk about China having coal plants and those kinds of things. And, you know, really what we're talking about when we're looking at this is the USA is really bearing a big chunk of this percentage here. It's like outrageous. So I just wanted to make sure everybody was aware. This is a big part of the reason why this COP26 summit needed to happen. And also that Joe Biden has kind of got his hands full when it comes to making these climate promises. Right, Robert and Wendy?
He has problems, definitely. Hey, I think, I don't know if we're on the new clock right now, but we should be wrapping up this segment, and let's see if we can hear some bumper music. And,
oh, there it is.
We are a Lucid Nation.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
To by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, we have State Senator Mary Kunish from Minnesota on, and I just wanted to fill Mary in a little bit. Wendy and I were in Minneapolis trying to put up a teepee inside a building, and the poles were too long, and we flew back.
And the ceiling was too short.
Right, and Ogama started out with the show. And
without us.
Yeah, so now we can retire. So welcome, State Senator Mary Kunish.
Way to go, Ogama. It's that problem-solving skills that that really make everything so successful. And I hope you got that teepee up.
No. We had they took it away, and now they're bringing us a small, little, meager teepee.
We won't talk about that until Monday when we can reveal everything that we're doing, Mary. I know you know what we're doing.
Yeah, it's a secret until Monday.
Okay, I won't say anything. So I'm here broadcasting from Florida, from Tampa Bay, Florida. I thought I was going to come down for a nice warm Florida vacation, but it's been overcast and drizzly now for the entire day. But I came down to participate in the National Caucus of Native American Legislators. And we try to get together at least once a year, the Native American legislators, to review some of the legislation that we are all working on in our own states, to put together some resolutions to send to the federal government and to the president, and to elect our own board within this caucus. And it's always so interesting because I get to meet a lot of new Native legislators that I know of around the country, but maybe haven't met. And then, of course, to see some of those that I get to see more than often. Minnesota's own Representative Heather Keeler is here today, and North Dakota's Ruth Ann Buffalo. She was just elected our vice chair for this caucus. Wow. And I want to do a shout out to Benny Shindo from New Mexico. He's been our chair now, well, since I was elected, so 4 or 5 years, and he was soundly reelected. But we had folks in person from New Mexico, from Montana, New Mexico, and Oklahoma. I met this mother and daughter duo today. The mother was a senator, Senator Anastasia Pittman. They're from Oklahoma. She's from Oklahoma. Her daughter is now a state representative, AJ wow. Pittman. So they are a mother and daughter duo. And actually, I was sitting next to them, and I could have sworn they were sisters. So they both are beautiful. Well, I can't say young because one is a mother of an adult woman, but they are beautiful mother and daughter legislators from Oklahoma. And so it was just really great. Sean Bordeaux is there from South Dakota. If you've never met him, he is he's a firecracker of a legislator in South Dakota, and he's up for re-election. Actually, South Dakota has limits, term limits for their legislators. So he's going to be done here after this next year in the House, and is hoping to then move on to the Senate seat in South Dakota. So we had a lot of really good discussions, and just really happy to be around these people.
Did you see Red Dawn? Was she there?
She was not there in person, but she participated virtually. So I heard her voice. I saw her on Zoom, and it was good to know that she was listening in and participating.
Yeah, because while you were talking, Mary, you know, and real soon we're going to be firing up Rock the Vote Native style again, and we'll need your assistance to really promote our Native community again all over Turtle Island like we did last time. So it's exciting that you're...
It was phenomenal, right? The turnout for Native folks. But you know what was really cool today? We had one of our sessions. Let me find it on my itinerary so I get this right. We had a session called Strategies to Build the Native Pipeline. And we were discussing leadership and engagement strategies to increase Native representation in our national politics. And there is a group, let me see here, called Advance Native Political Leadership. And the speaker who shared the whole program with us, a young man named Jordan James Harville, he's their national program director, is just phenomenal. I was absolutely inspired by him. And he was telling us about all the work they're doing to get organized for this next election and to build. I'm looking for my notes while we're talking so I can talk a little bit more and give you the...
Well, one thing that we did with your help, and I know you didn't miss during COVID, we did those Sunday night symposiums, and I was lucky to meet many, many, many politicians all over Turtle Island that were on our show, Mary, that we did every Sunday during COVID for over a year. And a lot of those people I met during the Iowa caucus, the presidential caucus down there, and you know, like Red Dawn, and we both knew Ruth Buffalo, but people like that were on every week. We're going to be doing stuff like that again too with your help up here in Minnesota and the five state area.
Yeah, I am very excited to do that. And what was so, I wish I had the slides from his event, but I think he was telling us that in the last elections, we had 70 new American Indian candidates. Mm-hmm. And I think that there were 30 new ones just elected this past Tuesday. I hope I'm telling you the correct information. But right now there are about 112 current American Indian elected officials nationally. But actually, here's the deal, you guys. We need to get 16,250 American Indian people elected to positions from, you know, dog catcher to school board to municipal. We need 16,250 to even reach racial parity. And that's across the board. And so there is a lot of work to do, and I'm glad you're already thinking about that, Robert, because when I hear of the legislation and the struggles that each of these legislators are up against, and knowing what we are up against here in Minnesota, we absolutely need the support of all of you to re-elect our current American Indian legislators, and then also either to, number one, step up and put your name out there and run a campaign and get elected, or support a campaign member, get somebody else, recruit somebody else, mentor them, help them raise money, door knock, phone call, create mailings, all of those things, because we have to start getting ready right now for our elections in 2021.
Exactly. Well, we really appreciate you being on, and I know we usually do a half a show with you, but we got another guest coming up next, but you can enjoy that nice weather, just kidding, in Florida. But I don't feel bad. Why don't I feel bad, Wendy? We really appreciate you and all you're doing, and it's going to be exciting. And I think one of the things here in Minnesota we can hang our hat on is that we had around 15 people, Native Americans in Minnesota, win their election this last cycle. So we have some power to build on, and I'm excited to partner with you and all the other people that we've met to rock the vote Native style again, Mary.
Yep, that is the plan. And if you folks wanna, if anybody wants to check out that advance program for Native Americans, it's advancenativepl.org. So advancenativepl.org. And there it is. And check them out. I'm sure they could use whatever kind of assistance or expertise that you all have. But just a dynamic young man, and the programs that they're, so he's just spot on. He's just spot on. So really excited about that.
All right. That's State Senator Mary Kunis. She's on fire. She's got the good things happening down in Florida. Thank you so much, Mary. And we'll talk to you soon. And we'll definitely talk to you next Friday. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And up next, Ogama has a guest. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
For dinner after the show.
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
If you're an Indigenous person who has thought about going to college or completing your degree, then North Dakota State has a great event for you coming up. Thursday, November 18th is Indigenous Student Visit Day at North Dakota State University. The event is for Indigenous community members who have an interest in attending North Dakota State. Throughout the day, you'll get a tour of the campus, have a chance to connect with current students, professors, and staff members. You'll also learn about support services, financial aid, the application process, have optional breakout sessions, and more. Since the health and safety of the community is important at North Dakota State, face coverings are required in all classroom settings and strongly recommended in all indoor spaces when social distancing cannot be maintained. So take the opportunity to further explore your education options with Indigenous Student Visit Day at North Dakota State University on Thursday, November 18th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Register now online at ndsu.edu/visit and then click on the Weekend Visits tab to find Indigenous Visit Day. Again, search NDSU Indigenous Visit Day at ndsu.edu/visit.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered Indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, Minnesota. This is David Pakman, and you can catch my show weeknights for an in-depth look at politics and current events on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, Don from Wisco Home Goods here. Jeremy and I handcraft our 100% non-toxic candles from locally sourced materials in our Madison, Wisconsin facility. Wisco Home Goods candles come in a variety of unique blends and scents that you're sure to love. Add a little warmth to your home as the days get colder with one of our Midnight Cypress or Up North candles. Order at WiscoHomeGoods.com. Natural, healthy, nourishing candles and more at WiscoHomeGoods.com.
For too long, American Indian tribes have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation in Indian country. They have worked hand-in-hand with tribes to implement the Tribal Law and Order Act, fighting against diminishment of tribal lands and natural resources, and improving public safety on reservations. The Robbins Kaplan American Indian Law and Policy Practice serves tribes and individuals on commercial, government investigations, agency and tribal boundary disputes, as well as personal injury. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purdon, their American Indian Law and Policy Practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. If you or your tribe are facing legal issues, contact RobbinsKaplan.com or call toll-free at 1-800-553-9910.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
We are the Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, super excited for a couple reasons, Wendy. Mm-hmm. We were on a secret mission today that we can't talk about until Monday when all the information
it's
drops.
A secret mission.
And then Ogama was running the show, and now I'm feeling like, wow, she doesn't need us.
We couldn't get back here in the studio in time to start off, so Ogama took over, and she did a great job. So thank you very much, Ogama.
Yeah, right. So why don't we get Ogama on here and talk to our guest, and I'm excited to listen in because, of course, she's done the prep, and we're like playing with teepees in Minneapolis. So welcome, Ogama, and introduce your guest to us, please.
Hello. Thank you, Robert, Wendy, for the wonderful compliments. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe again. Today I brought on Ramona Kito Stately, who's the executive director of We Are Still Here Minnesota, also known as WASH-MN. WASH-MN is a wonderful program. They are a nonprofit organization who's working to change harmful narratives around Indigenous people in our regions. In a whole bunch of different areas, they kind of have their hands in everything. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce Ms. Ramona Kito Stately to give us some more information about WASH and share about these very special fundraiser they have going on.
Good evening. I want to say thank you, Pidamayaya, for having me, Ogama. And I'm really excited to talk about We Are Still Here, Minnesota. So we are a special project of the Native Governance Center. And we just started in June of 2019. And our mission is to spotlight and make visible the lives and contributions of Native Americans, peoples, and their governments in Minnesota today because we are still here. We will do this by challenging and correcting false narratives, replacing fiction with facts in K-12 education, and finding solutions for issues impacting the Native American community. And we do this by braiding together the strengths of established networks of Native American people and organizations. And we focus on governance and policy, K-12 education, pop culture and media, and philanthropy. And what's really unique and different about our organization is that we use the strength and power of our Native experts in across the state and allies in all of those areas. So we're not compartmentalizing, you know, K-12 education or philanthropy, but we're reaching across all of those different sectors to increase our knowledge and our power to make good decisions and help people.
That's absolutely wonderful. I really am always excited when I see Washam men come through. I follow you guys on social media, and I see you come through my feed all the time with just really wonderful information. I think one of the biggest things I just seen this week was the information on, you know, treaty rights being legally binding agreements with the United States, and that was posted from the Indian Country Today website. And I mean, you really are reaching out as a nonprofit to talk to people and share via social media all the different aspects and ways in which Native people are contributing to society, especially in the Twin Cities. Part of the reason I wanted to have you on today is because Give to the Max Day is November 18th, and if you are a Native person or an American, I really hope you do know that November is Native American Heritage Month. And for Give to the Max, it looks like Washam Men is got something really big going on. Can you give us a little more info on that, Ramona?
Yes, absolutely. So this is our very first time that we have been able to participate in Give to the Max. And so it's Minnesota's giving holiday. And so we're really hoping that the generous supporters will look our way, look this way. It's part of how we say our prayers too is, you know, hey, look over here. But to look this way and fund organizations that help change a narrative and help Native organizations that are working to identify allies and to help in all different areas of this, you know, problems and challenges that we have across the state. We're really focusing recently on K-12 education. So we are still here. Minnesota actually started as a call to action from Illuminative and Crystal Echo Hawks Reclaiming Native Truth research. And so that research asked the question, what do American people know about Native people? And we weren't really surprised with the results of that survey, but I think that it gives us some really great data to go by. But one of the things that we found was that in reading that data is that 23 of the states across America do not teach anything about Native people in K-12, and the ones that do stop at 1900. So that is, you know, probably number one reason that we are invisible, that we are misunderstood. And when there's no story, people make up their own, right? And so there are a lot of ways to see how that impacts Native people in our state. So it's been really exciting to just be in this position and be able to see organizations who are saying, you know what, we use these Native philosophies to restore our prairies. So we want to be a good friend to Native people. And so I feel like we're moving forward in a really good way. And we can use all of the support that we can get in our very first giving ask. So we're hoping to reach a lot of people and get the word out that we are still here, Minnesota.
Wow, this sounds really great, you guys. I'm just jumping in here. I think we'll blast this out as much as we can, but we are so into supporting Native groups like yours because we want to be inclusive, but we also want to let all our white relatives and allies know what's going on. So it's really a really good point in what you said about the history ending at 1900. I really gravitated to that.
You know, I did too, Robert. My 8-year-old daughter is home from school this week. Unfortunately, we had somebody in our household test positive for COVID, and even though her and I are still well, she can't go to school this week. We were working on some of her other homework today and had been talking about, you know, Bigfoot and Yetis and whether or not they existed. And I brought that back to culture. And the only word that I could think about to explain why, you know, Yetis and Bigfoots are always left to science, even though there are cultural relevance to Indigenous people all over the world, was the word oppression. And I described the word oppression to her as, you know, how they still do pilgrims and Indians for Thanksgiving every year, even though it makes you a little uncomfortable. And they don't really talk about, you know, how Native people exist here in school. And my 8-year-old was immediately like, click. She got it. You know, we know that this is a problem as Native people, and it's so important to educate our allies and do the work that WashMN is doing to share that information with not only Native people but our allies as well, so that they know we are still here. We haven't gone extinct by any means.
Yeah, and I think that now is a really good time to be able to tell our own story, to be able to correct a false narrative written from a colonialist set of values and knowing, you know, in a place they really didn't know. Because I feel like our tribal nations, we've been through a lot in the last 159 years, you know, we've been through a lot. But we are connected to this place, and all of this universe is our relative. And that really allows us to dig deep and find some resiliency. We've seen our tribal nations recover across this state. And we've seen some really great things. Even, you know, when we look at some of those tribal nations, they're huge philanthropists, you know, they're giving back to the people, which is funny because, you know, we're struggling, yet we're giving back to the people and providing lots of jobs and lots of money into the state. But it's part of our lifeways and our philosophies is to make decisions so the people can live. And so we see that reflected back into the community. And so I think that piece that's missing is who are the people who are Indigenous to this place? And how can we understand and learn more about all of the things that they know, their star knowledge, right? The ways of keeping the water clean. You know, in our Dakota language, mani is water, but ni means our very life force. So we had a lot of understandings and philosophies about the natural world that we could use right now. So I'm excited to see this project take hold. And, you know, we've got Mary Kunish, who was just on, and we have the Lieutenant Governor, all of these people in all these different roles who are working to help us move forward. And even though the Indigenous Education for All Act, it didn't get passed this year, but we still got the funding for it. We still got the budget part of it, which is what we needed to continue to move forward. And that was epic. And that was just amazing.
So one more time before we run out of time in this segment, Ramona, if people want to find out more about We Are Still Here Minnesota or donate to you for the Give to the Max Day up until November 18th, how would they do that? What's the website for both of those?
So our website is the https://www.givemin.org/story/washmin, or we have a website, which is washmin.org, and we have a Facebook site as well. So all of those places you can go and find out how to give and help us out. We really appreciate it, and we're excited.
And we're definitely going to be sharing both of those pages out on our Native Roots Radio social media page. So if you have not yet scooted on over to the Native Roots Radio social media, make sure you check that out for a quick and easy way to donate to WASH Minnesota or We Are Still Here Minnesota. Thank you so much, Ramona, for joining us on the show tonight. We really appreciate your time and all of your work. It's really beautiful what you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And up next, Wendy with Fun Facts Friday on our sacred animals. Again, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Hey, wow, Wendy, before we get into your fun facts, positive Friday on our sacred animals, mm-hmm. We are a little giddy here, and Ogama is a little giddy too, because we didn't plan on being late to the show,
no.
And just things happen, but it's great mm-hmm. to have Ogama available, mm-hmm. and still, you know, the beat goes on. So again, Pinigigi, Ogama, it looks like you had some fun today, so you're ready to take the show over, and we're going on vacation, Wendy.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go on vacay.
You just got back. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years, and she works, you know, locally and nationally on Native, Native issues, but I want to say...
Animal issues, which are
our relatives.
Yes, sacred
issues.
Animals. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Hi, everybody.
Welcome.
My name is Hanajihi Hani. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. So as always, Curtis, thank you. I am a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States.
Oh, wow. The show's live. We can't
I
that
know.
Over.
That's okay.
All right.
Anyway, I got this really nice card in the mail from our favorite listener.
Our first
favorite listener, and she's become our friend now, Tiergan. So thank you so much for the card. I really appreciate it. But she put in the card a little note about maybe something sometime I can talk about this.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to be friends with our listeners.
I could be friends with anybody I want.
All right, I like it. Tell me more.
So anyway, I think this is really interesting and important to talk about. You know, we all love to share our food and treats with our pets, right? Especially Robert loves to give Wanda, our little black dog, little things. Gracie really doesn't ask for anything
on the table. That's what's weird.
She just eats her dog food and dog treats. But Wanda likes to try different things. And no matter what you're eating, she's kind of sniffing around to see what we have. But excuse me, but not all foods that we eat are safe for animals. And in fact, some of them can be really toxic and can cause them really a lot of damage. So I just wanted to talk about some of the foods and things that you should not be feeding your cat or dog. I don't know if that goes for other animals, but we're going to talk about cats and dogs. But one of them is chocolate, so you shouldn't be giving them anything with chocolate.
Not black chocolate either?
No, dark chocolate or milk chocolate. Both can be dangerous.
Sorry, Wanda.
Yeah, grapes.
No, and I think I heard that.
Yeah, grapes and raisins. And, you know, it's funny. I saw a couple of videos online. Somebody was feeding their dogs grapes, and there were a lot of comments underneath saying, you know, don't do that. There's something in the grapes, the raisins, garlic, and onions, a chemical that the dogs and cats cannot metabolize in their liver, so they can get high toxic amounts of these foods, so it could be dangerous. So again, raisins, garlic, onions, avocados. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Yeah, I eat avocados all the time. So
When I make stuff, it falls on the floor too, so I got to be careful.
Yeah. You have to be careful. Apple cores, like a core of an apple. Like, I was throwing them out a long time ago, the apple cores outside. And to somebody who is an expert in squirrels said, don't throw out the apple cores because the apple seeds have cyanide in them, and poison the squirrel. So that's, I would imagine, the same thing for cats and dogs.
What's his name made that cyanide in Breaking Bad?
Oh, from apple cores?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't know about that. A couple of things we won't have to worry about in this house: of fatty meats such as bacon and chicken bones. So we don't have any of those here. But yeah, be careful. Chicken bones, I think they split up, and the bones can get caught in your dog's throat. Yeah. You know, so don't do that. Macadamia nuts. We don't really eat macadamia nuts. Once my grandfather, when he went to Hawaii, sent me a thing of macadamia nuts. I was allergic to them. But dairy products such as
good
milk.
Good old babe.
We don't have milk here. Yeasted dough. So like bread that has yeast in it. The yeast is not good for the dogs and cats either. And caffeine. Caffeine can be really dangerous.
It's dangerous for us.
It is dangerous. If we drink too much, we're like...
We go off on each other. It's like, didn't mean to say that, but this coffee.
Yeah, because it could cause them, you know, their little hearts to beat really, really fast. Aww. And then they could have a little heart attack. Raw meat and eggs, another thing we don't have to worry about here because we don't have that in our house, but that could be dangerous. I was surprised about eggs. I'd have to, maybe because of salmonella or something like that, but I don't know about that. Boy, because I know I a lot of people cook eggs and give it to their dogs.
We used to scramble them. Wasn't that for our dogs a long time ago?
Maybe. I'd have to look that up. There isn't any explanation right here.
Figure
but
that one out.
Here's another one.
Omelet for them every once in a while. Can't be that bad.
We don't have eggs in the house. Xylitol, that's this artificial sweetener that's found in sugarless gum. You could also find it in certain peanut butters. And I know our dogs love peanut butter, and peanut butter is good for them. So I always make sure that we don't buy any peanut butter that has any artificial flavors in it. We usually don't. I usually just buy peanut butter that's peanut butter and salt and, you know, that's it.
It's peanuts and salt
and
water.
That's all it is. That's
not ground up.
Oil, I think.
Oh, ick.
But that's it for that list. But I have another list here, too. The list goes on.
Wow. Are these positive? Like positive Friday? You're still rolling with that?
Well, apricot pits. Don't give your dog apricot. You know, and this would be that they would eat it accidentally. Nobody's going to feed their dog a pit or a cherry pit. Cherry pit's another one. We said coffee, grapes, garlic, hops, which is used in beer brewing. And of course, always never alcoholic beverages. That's bad
for everybody.
It is very bad for everybody.
They sleep a really long time.
I know. They sleep really late. And they don't get anything done after a night of drinking hot sake. But moldy food. Some moldy food, but I wouldn't eat moldy food, so you wouldn't give moldy food to your animals.
Well,
but the mold could be dangerous. Mushroom plants.
Oh, we don't want mushrooms in this house.
Mustard seeds. Oh. I didn't know that. We like mustard, and we eat a lot of mustard here too.
You know, there's a famous AA group called the Mustard Seed in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah.
And why are they called that?
Because when you plant the seed, it deep roots before it does anything. So I guess the thing is, the mustard seed is deep rooted and strength and all that.
Before it pops through the ground.
Yeah. So.
Salt. That's another one.
I don't like salt.
We have to be careful. Tea, also, because it has caffeine.
Unless they're British dogs.
Walnuts. So I would just stay away from all kind of nuts. You know, I wouldn't give my dog peanuts or anything. I would just be afraid that it would, like, get caught in their throat. Because, you know, like Wanda, she doesn't really chew anything. She just kind of, like, eats her food and, like, breathes it, like... That's it. It's gone. Like, she doesn't chew anything. And the doctor always asked that, why does she have so much tartar on her teeth? Because I brought her in for a cleaning, and they cleaned her teeth and pulled out 13 teeth, too.
How many teeth do the dogs have?
A lot. They have, like, 35 or 38.
I thought I heard 38.
38, yeah. Something like that. And cats have even more teeth.
I'm losing my teeth.
Yeah, so the vet was asking, you know, why does she have so much tartar on her teeth? And I just said, well, I don't give her anything that's really hard for her to chew, because she doesn't chew anything. She just wants to gobble it down. And I'm afraid that, you know, she's going to choke. So I don't give her anything like that. But anyway, so now Wanda has to get her teeth cleaned again. It's quite expensive, too.
Well, this has been a great show, a real positive show, Wendy, and I feel like
Thanks for the list here again. I appreciate it.
Right on. Great job. And I feel like we could go on and on, but then we didn't get on the show until it was like a quarter of the way done, so that's probably why.
Right. Again, so if you want to check something, if you want to check out what to give your pet, just look it up first before you give it to them. That's the best solution.
Absolutely. Our sacred animals are our relatives. Pinigigi Ogama, we're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.